Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thanksgiving is tomorrow, which means we are T-minus 2 days from Black Friday, the busiest shopping day of the year, though many stores this year have jump-started their post-Thanksgiving sales by making them into pre-Thanksgiving sales. There was a time, though, and it wasn't all that long ago, when Christmas shopping meant a trip downtown to a fancy department store. We all probably remember the big department store names from our past: Gimbel's, Schuster's, Marshall Field's, Woodward and Lothrop, and if you are from Marinette, Wisconsin, Lorman's. Author Michael Liana memorializes the store of the past in his recent book, Something for Everyone. Speaking with Lake Effect's Stephanie Lecce in October, he talked about why the store held such personal appeal for him.
It was a wonderful place, and it was much like other department stores that used to exist all over. So I think telling the story was a good idea. I think it needed to be preserved. My father worked there for close to 50 years, and he was a department manager for many of those years. I wanted to honor him. This came up. It was an idea I had. And I went to some of the Lorman family members and asked them about it. And I said, if you don't want me to do it, I won't. But they all the ones I talked to said, go for it and do it. So, and they seem to be happy with it today. And doing this, I found out that it was very important to lots of people up there. As I interviewed more and more people, it was a really good topic. People enjoyed talking about it and remembering it.
What conditions made it right for the Lorman brothers to get together and open this store in Marinette?
When Marinette was a kind of a boom town, it was a lumber town back around 1890 when the store opened. And the Lorman brothers, there were three brothers who came to Marinette from southern Wisconsin. They found this place that had a lot of potential, and they opened a small store and took it from there. The store expanded a couple of times. And then they built this big store that still exists right in the center of Marinette. And that's the store that most people think of when they think of Lorman's.
Now, there's a great story at the beginning of the book where the store almost didn't come to pass thanks to a chance encounter on a trip through Chicago.
Oh, yeah. It's a famous story in the family. I heard from different family members of the Lormans. Joseph Lorman was the oldest brother, and he took their savings and traveled to New York, actually, to buy merchandise when the store first opened. And he had the money hidden in his belt, I think. And he told the story later on that somebody he met in Chicago in between trains talked him into, or wanted to talk him into, going into a tavern and possibly throw some dice or something like that. And he said, if I hadn't resisted that, if I hadn't gotten out of there, I may have not had that money. They started the whole business with $1,100 that they saved up over a few years, and these two young brothers started the store. Then they recruited their younger brother, the youngest in the family, came up and helped them then. So there were three, but essentially two in the beginning, and apparently that may have happened to him in Chicago, and they think that the store might not have got its start if he hadn't resisted that offer from that man.
That temptation.
Mm-hmm.
What was it about these brothers? What was their vision for this store? What did they want it to be? There were a lot of other stores in Marinette at that time.
The funny thing is the whole history of the department store is an interesting one, I think, that things were being done differently across the country and even over. The department store really began in Europe. But they started putting things together in stores rather than putting them in strictly clothes or strictly shoes. And the department store kind of came to be. Some people accepted it and some people didn't or embraced it. The Lormans had this idea and they succeeded at it. They put the right kinds of merchandise in there. A lot of the success is attributed to the fact that the people in Marinette appreciated their selection. They would have very good top-of-the-line merchandise, but they also would have items that were not of top quality but were more affordable. So they had a wide variety of things that appealed to a wide variety of people. So,
hence the title, Something for Everyone.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But you also identified other factors that attributed to its success. Can you talk about those?
Well, sure. They offered really good service. At one time, the department stores offered all sorts of little things, parades and fashion shows and little classes on how to use the bicycles in the bicycle department. how to, you know, use this new wax that they've sold for the floors. You know, they would offer all sorts of little things, free gift wrap and free delivery. When I talk to people today about Lorman's or any old department store, people really respond because enough time has passed now and people kind of yearn for those days, I'm finding, when you could call and get good service, when you could buy something with the confidence that you didn't have to, you know, worry that it wasn't going to be backed up. And here's just a little piece from the book. This is Jerry Blum, and he was the manager there eventually in the appliance department. And he said, on Monday mornings, we'd go out and oil up all the ringers and motors on customers' washing machines. I remember going to your grandma's. We'd oil up the machine, and she'd give us coffee and bakery. Before you knew it, we were outside hanging the clothes on the line. And it goes on from there. Yeah, it's amazing that people really did that. It sounds like when you talk to somebody younger today about this, it sounds like you're talking about a different planet almost, that where this kind of thing happened. Every one of these department stores across the country was unique, but each one kind of followed a parallel path. This is why when I wrote this book, I kind of kept that in mind, and I've been hearing from people who said they read it, they'd never even have been in Marinette, but they remember their hometown department store, and everything that's written in here reminds them of what they experienced too.
Yet each store did have something unique, and Lorman's had a few unique features that really made going to the store an experience.
Yes. It just struck me after interviewing people that there were certain things that everybody wanted to talk about, so I started to make a note of that. The number one item for Lorman's, and most people guess it right away, the malt ice cream cone was something unique to Lorman's and Marinette. And everybody wants to know, how can I get one of those again? And I did a lot of research and talked to various people. And the conclusion in the end is, you won't ever get one again because the recipe is gone. The machines no longer are there. And perhaps I'll be proven wrong by somebody sometime. It was a very memorable part of going to Lorman's store. Some of the other things that were unique to Lorman's were not food related. One of the things people like to talk about when they talk about Lorman's is the elevator there, because in Marinette, Lorman's was the first store to have an elevator, or the first building to have an elevator, and people were just thrilled by it. They were frightened of it. They wouldn't go on it. They wouldn't let their children near it. Other people loved going on it. They thought it was such a thrill, and it was just a slow-moving little elevator that went up from the basement to the third floor.
What about the employee experience? What were some of the more interesting stories that you collected as you talked to people who had worked there?
There's an appendix at the end of the book with a list of names of people who worked there for 30 or more years, and the list is pretty long. You know, there were people there who came to ask about a job, and they ended up staying for half of a century. You know, it's amazing. There's a lot of them. And they today, by and large, they're very proud of their experience there, and they love talking about Lorman's store. People fondly remember it. They kind of yearn for those old days again. So I would get that feeling every time I talk with one of these people.
Was there a story that really stuck out to you?
Oh, there were several. Let's think. There was one woman who gave me the story that she went to apply for a job there, and she was told, well, we'll keep your name here and we'll keep in touch with you if something opens up. When she turned and left, she found on the stairway as she was leaving the store, she found a wallet on the floor and opened it up, and there were $60 in it. She returned it to that same man at the desk where she applied for the job and gave it to him. The next day, she was offered a job, saying, you were so honest, we want to give you the job. And she stayed there for 39 years. She also got a gift from the woman in Michigan who the wallet belonged to, some kind of a hand-embroidered set of pillowcases or something like that. You know, it's just, you know, there are a lot of stories like this.
So how does the story of Lorman's end?
Well, it's no fun to read that last chapter, but it's necessary to write that and to read that. The department store decline kind of started in the 20s, though, without the Depression, and without World War II, perhaps it would have gone under sooner. But those factors helped to make it a going concern for a greater number of years. In the 50s, there were some indications. In the 60s, for sure, that's when stores like Target and Kmart came along. And the 70s, the Lorman store was still going fine. Some of their satellite stores that they opened around 1930, they one by one went under. They had stores in Iowa and in Michigan and elsewhere in Wisconsin. In the end, in the 70s, the big store in Marinette was the only one left, and it finally closed in 1987. And that's probably about the same era when Prangies and Gimbel's and a lot of these stores went under. In the 80s, the business started to decline. And at one time, Lorman's little Marinette had a store that employed 440 people around 1935, somewhere in there. And in the very end, there were 28 people employed full-time. They consolidated different departments. They had whole sections of the store that were empty. And luckily, it still exists and stands in downtown Marinette. Many of these old department stores are gone. But there was not much anybody could do. This was happening all across the country. And it was just hard, you know, because this was a beloved place, and it was time to admit that we have to close.
If people have such strong memories, and it was so painful for a store like this to close, why do you think no one's trying again? No other set of brothers is trying to create the hometown department store.
Well, isn't that something, you know? Yeah, you'd think that something like that would be done. I do think that perhaps there has been some change in something such as a service, that service is returning a little bit, that people really like that. You know, the thing that made sense to me, and I never had thought about it with Lorman Store, it was a great big building with high ceilings and beautiful marble columns and marble floor and these big grand show windows and everything. But when I spoke with one of the members of the Lorman family, he described to me and told me how much it cost to keep that place heated, the electricity, servicing the elevator, all that stuff. It was very expensive. And these other stores were coming in, building on the edge of town where land was cheaper. They could expand out and keep everything on one floor. I never had thought about the fact that no one ever used shopping carts in Lorman Store. You just couldn't do it. And stores today are on one floor, and people grab a shopping cart when they first enter, and that's just the way it is. So I don't think these kinds of stores have much of a chance anymore just because of things like that. You know, it's times have changed. People's needs and demands have changed. I think it's too much to hope that enough people will demand a return to the old ways. But it is fun to think back and to look back at all these things.
Well, Mike Aliana, thank you so much for coming in and telling us about Lorman's.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Mike Aliana's book is called Something for Everyone, Memories of Lorman Brothers Department Store. A writer, radio playwright, and former public school employee, Aliana lives in Sheboygan. He spoke with Stephanie Lecce, and our interview first aired in October. That's Wednesday's edition of Lake Effect. We'll have a mostly food-oriented version of the program for Thanksgiving. I hope you can tune in for that. If you are leaving town and leaving the Milwaukee area, have yourself a terrific Thanksgiving holiday. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thank you so much for being with us today, and I sure hope you'll join us tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect from WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. We're NPR in Milwaukee. Keep listening. It's 11 o'clock, and fresh air comes your way next. Have a great day.